Turney by David Wade. With Geraldine McEwan as Annabelle, Jeffrey Palmer as Jeffrey, and Joan Matheson as Beatty. Power of Attorney.
From the office of James H. Bulstrode, Managing Director, Electro Firm Limited, to Jeffrey Campion, Head of Marketing. Dear Jeffrey.
Jeffrey? It's Jeff, remember?
Dear Jeffrey.
Well, if you insist.
As you will be well aware, our company, along with many others in the field of domestic electrical goods, has been experiencing serious difficulties over the past 2 years.
I don't much like the drift of this communication.
Among the options open to us, as you will readily appreciate, we must, of course, take into account the painful question of early retirements and redundancies. And in this regard, I'm very sorry to say that yours is one of the names that has come up for consideration.
Well, there you are. I knew it was on the horizon. But that didn't help much when one morning, after 10 years of service, uncomplaining if not actively loyal, persistent if not high on innovation, there it was, sitting in my in-tray. Mind you, I could sympathize with Bulstrode. I would never have retained me either. But I was in my 53rd year. And what does the future hold for the middle-aged and the redundant in the hard and thrusting times in which we live?
Hello, darling.
Annabelle.
Have you been telling them about your golden kick in the pants?
Hardly golden.
No, well, more late 20th century Cupernickel. But what we ought to explain is that the day on which it happened had begun a good few hours before you ever reached the office. We were both sleeping the sleep of the just.
My dear, that's pushing it a bit, given the burden of our tale.
Point taken. Make a better suggestion.
Why don't we just leave it? See what they think, when they've heard us out.
Yes. Why not? Well, as I was saying, there we were asleep, when out of the night...
Oh, no.
Who the hell is this?
In the moment of complete confusion between sleep and waking, and as I fumbled in the darkness for the phone, three possibilities were uppermost.
What's the betting it's Rebecca?
My daughter is an eco-freak and insomniac who always rings at mealtimes on the basis that we're probably eating meat and ought to be frustrated. Or at 1 a.m. because she's worrying about the ozone layer and thinks we should be too. She currently cohabits with a snake called Gavin, years her senior, who professes sociology or something equally caring.
Of course it could be Alexander.
A likely tale. Following his Macedonian namesake, my son is an addicted traveller who satisfies his passion by working for a high-powered maker of exotic films. He never rings at all, except when he's in difficulties.
If we were really out of luck, it could be Eddie.
My brother is a long-stay patient in a mental hospital. His conversation revolves exclusively around the greater European painters and their beards. He rings up several times a week. They're so far only during waking hours. Some weeks he turns up as well.
Jeffrey, why don't you answer the phone?
I can't find a bloody thing.
Try inside the bedside table. Mrs. Penny likes to hide it there.
Ah. 0472. Yes. Yes. See right here. Hang on. Some hospital or other. For you.
God, it's Rebecca. She's fallen off that bloody motorbike.
This is Alexander, home at last with yellow fever.
Hello? Yes. Mrs. who? Oh, Mrs. Hunter. Yes. Yeah. Her niece, actually. I said I'm her niece, not her daughter. Yes, well, that would be in character. Anyway, what's happened to her? Oh, Lord, what sort of accident?
Oh, God.
I see. Badly. Oh, dear. So how is she now? yes, obviously very confused. Look, I'll drop in on my way to work. Right. I see. That's okay. Bye.
What's up with Beatty this time?
She's had a fall and broken her hip. They've got to operate. Beatty?
Beatty?
Huh? Oh. Who's that? Who are you?
Beatty, it's me.
Yes, I can see it's you, whoever you may be. What do you want? I suppose that bitch of a sister sent you to take away my money. First my cigarettes and lighter, now my bloody cash.
Beatty, it's Annabelle.
Mrs. Hunter to you, Miss Impudence.
Ah,
you're the social worker. You always call us by our Christian names, you social workers, in the belief, totally mistaken in my case, that it promotes harmony. The only thing it promotes in me, young woman, is a strong desire to poke you in the eye.
My God. Beatty, please, listen to me. I'm Annabelle. I'm your niece.
My niece? Annabelle? Oh, Annabee.
Yeah.
My dear, why didn't you say sooner?
Well,
Angel girl, how kind. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. But what about you?
Perfectly gruesome.
Oh, Lord. Are you hurting terribly?
Hurting? Why should I be hurting? But listen, my dear. First things first.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a cigarette?
Oh, me. I'm very sorry, I don't.
Pity. Oh, well, just have to get some in the restaurant.
Do what?
I booked for 1 o'clock, so if you just ask them to fetch my things and ring for a minicab, we might as well be on our way. What are you waiting for?
Morning, Mr. Campion.
Morning, Rita.
You're early.
Not on purpose, I assure you.
Your post's on your desk.
Already?
Usual time. There's one marked private, so I didn't open it.
Good for you. Who's it from?
I wouldn't know, would I? Myrtle brought it.
Myrtle?
Mr. Bulstrode's new secretary.
Wow.
Mr. Campion's office. Oh, hello. Yes, of course. It's your wife.
Oh, thank you. Anna, how's it going?
Foul.
Oh, God.
Darling, listen. B has gone off her trolley.
So? What's different?
Okay. What I'm saying is she didn't even recognize me. Well, she did in the end, but even then...
Well, what does the doctor say?
I haven't seen a doctor. I don't think they have them in this hospital. But the staff nurse says old people often go peculiar when they break things.
Do they stay peculiar?
She didn't seem to think so.
Me, well, just to be awkward.
Geoffrey, she said another thing, something I hadn't thought of.
Oh, Lord. What?
What's B going to do when she comes out?
Well, they'll put her in a convalescent home. Won't they?
Nobody puts B anywhere. Besides, that'll only be a fortnight at the most.
She'll manage after that.
What, on crutches? Up all those stairs?
Oh. Maybe she could convalesce a little longer.
She'd have to pay then. She couldn't afford it.
This is working up to something, I can tell.
Darling, what I thought was, if it came to it, maybe we could have her for a bit. Geoffrey?
I heard you. I'm aghast.
We are her only relatives.
You are?
I'm fond of her. Oh, well, think about it. On second thoughts, don't think about it. We'll discuss it later. Oh, Lord, I've just seen the time. I must fly.
God's sake, aren't you even at the shop?
Hell, I am. Oh, we're expecting a delivery. God, if I miss that, Teresa will murder me. Bye.
Now then, where's this letter from the old man?
There, Mr. Campion, in front of you.
Hmm. Maybe it's an offer to join the board. Dear Geoffrey. Geoffrey? It's Jeff, remember?
Oh, please, God, let the mother come and gone. Oh. Chatty questions at Leicester regret their rival call, but could obtain no response. Oh, dear me. Treasel, I have a seizure.
Therese, Knightsbridge.
Oh,
Therese, I thought it would be you. Yes, I know, I'm sorry. Look, if you'd just let me explain. Therese, that's not fair. I'm always here by 9:30, but what happened this morning? I see. All right, Teresa, if that's your attitude, maybe you'd like to try running this overpriced, pretentious little dump yourself. And while I'm at it, yes, I did miss Shakti, which is what you're ringing to check up on, and they won't call back till we instruct them. And I bloody well don't care.
My God, you said all that?
Yes, and a good deal more in the same vein when she rang back.
What did she say?
Well, after a short pause for breath, she told me my offer of resignation was accepted.
That's all we need.
I've got to have a drink. You?
Yes, Scotch. No, on second thoughts, I'd better have an apple juice.
If you take my advice, you'll have a Scotch and a very large one. Here, read this.
Ah, what is it?
It's a letter, isn't it?
When you say read this in that tone of voice, I like to gird my loins. Is it the tax?
Worse than that. Read it.
They can't do that.
They can and have.
And they're taking back your lovely BMW. Can't you appeal? Wrongful dismissal?
I doubt it.
Dudley Bulstrode. I always knew he was a viper.
Right, but not so beautifully marked. Scotch or apple juice?
Scotch! My God, Geoffrey, we're unemployed.
And very likely unemployable. Oh, hell. Who's this? And where's the wretched phone? How is it that our portable phone is never, never where we are?
Mrs. Penny's probably put it in the larder.
Well, why does she keep on doing that?
She doesn't like the noise it makes.
Hello? Yes? Good God, Alexander.
Oh! Don't let him go until I speak to him.
Where are you? Heathrow. We thought you were in Bangladesh. So are you coming or going? Australia.
Why is he going to Australia?
Why Australia? To set up some locations.
When is he coming back?
When are you coming back? 6 weeks. I'm not. I'm just reporting to your mother. Anyway, sorry we shan't see you between Dakar and Darwin. Nice of you to ring, however. Was there anything else? A red Ferrari. Where, exactly? I see. Of course, it didn't strike you, did it, that you might just ask before you dumped about a ton of priceless metal on our doorstep? Incidentally, I take it the thing's licensed and insured.
What?
What's that? Alexander, do you mean to tell me... Listen, you can't... You can't... Damn me.
He hasn't rung off, has he?
What do you think? Sorry and all that, must rush. Last call for my plane. Cheers, Dad.
Oh, dear. And what's he let us in for?
We are appointed guardians of his gleaming red Ferrari while he is in Australia.
Oh, that could be quite handy, couldn't it, seeing that you're just about to be deprived of your more humble vehicle?
Have you ever looked at a Ferrari? You need a pilot's license just to start the engine. Anyway, there's a little catch. What with one thing and another, shortages of time and money, its license has expired and its insurance gives out very shortly, would we mind, etc., etc.
Oh, it won't be that much, will it?
Oh, no. It's going to be at least a couple of thousand. And when did our dear son last pay us back?
Well, I suppose we have got it.
On deposit, yes, but, as of today, no means of replacing.
Oh, Lord, I'd forgotten. Where's my scotch? Mind you, I'm sure you'll get another job once you start looking.
Truth to tell, I wouldn't mind if I never worked again.
Oh, me neither. Except that we had rather thought of Martinique this year.
Better stop thinking now. More scotch.
All right. Oh, Lord, I just remembered something.
Oh, yes?
As I was coming home, I had the distinct impression I saw Eddie lurking.
God forbid, where?
Just by the underground. Mind you, it may not have been. Perhaps you should ring the hospital.
What for? If he's coming, he'll come. There's nothing we or they can do about it.
If we knew he wasn't, we could relax.
Oh, I seem to be relaxing anyway.
Oh. So I see. Don't go into a complete stupor, that's all, because I could use a hand with the supper. 0472. Rebecca, my dear, how amazing. First Alexander and now you, all in one evening.
And not even in the middle of a meal or after midnight. What's come over the girl?
Oh, Rebecca, no. You're not hurt, are you? Thank God for that. But what about the motorbike?
Don't tell me. It's a write-off.
A write-off? Oh, Lord, Rebecca, how exactly did it happen? A tractor? Goodness me. Well, of course, I know how you feel about these things, but they do say never swerve to avoid small animals. And then, well, I know I do go on, and obviously you have your principles, but we can't help wishing you and Gavin would give up these appalling motorbikes and get yourselves a little car. I mean, a small car surely can't use much more petrol than a pair of motorbikes.
I have a nasty feeling that I know who this will be.
Oh, I see, really. Well, I must
have...
Well, yes, that's just what I...
Mean.
Ah!
Eddie.
Hello, Jeff. I'm sorry, I've got a bit fed up.
I see. You mean you just walked out?
More or less.
Any particular reason?
That fellow Trevor Short called me a twit.
I thought that was last year.
He called me one this morning, too.
Really? Have you eaten?
I walked from Wimbledon.
Don't tell me. You ran out of money.
I bought a bar of chocolate.
And then you didn't have enough. Why, for heaven's sake, didn't you? No, what the hell? Come on in. You'd better have some supper, and then I'll run you back.
Okay, thanks. I say, Jeff, do you think Jan Van Eyck had a beard?
I have no idea.
I think he may have done.
We're in the kitchen.
Here's where I made it.
Eddie's here.
We're all for it, but I can't go into it now because Uncle Eddie's just turned up. Yes, I'll be in touch tomorrow, probably. Bye. Hello, Eddie.
Hello, Annabelle.
How are you?
Can't complain, you know. This fellow, Trevor Short, called me a twit.
I'm sure he didn't mean it.
What is a twit, exactly?
Eddie, sit yourself down. Mm. Anna, can we make the supper stretch?
Of course. It's a loin of pork.
I'd better ring the hospital. I'll take the phone outside.
Okay. So, Eddie, what's been happening?
Oh, nothing much. I say, Annabelle, do you happen to know if Jan Van Eyck had a beard?
Oh, Eddie, please. You asked me that last time and the time before, and every time we've met these past 400 years. I didn't know then, and I don't know now.
No, of course you don't. Mind you, I think he may have done. But what about Botticelli? What about Caravaggio? Did they have beards?
Hey, are you wedded to that crossword or to me?
Neither at the moment. I'm going to sleep.
No, you're not. I want to talk.
Why do we always have to hold these committee meetings last thing at night? Okay. First item on the agenda.
Eddie.
Oh, please. I've only just got rid of him.
Geoffrey, he's turning up more often. And one of these days he's going to turn up and he isn't going to go away again.
Oh, yes, he is.
What's to stop him? He's a voluntary patient.
Anna, we've been over this. He's been a voluntary patient for 28 years. He's never going to walk out now. He's institutionalized.
All right, maybe he is, but what happens when they close the institution?
We've been over this as well. Dr. Sparrow said there'd always be a place for him somewhere.
Well, I suppose you're right. It just worries me because I can tell you this. If Eddie ever lands up here with us, I shall go round the twist.
My dear girl, taking me with you. But it won't happen. And if it does, there's always a way out.
What?
Two to beat your head. One single, one return.
You'd never do a thing like that.
I think about it. Can I go to sleep now, please?
I haven't finished yet.
Oh, what's next?
You're not going to believe this. Becca and Gavin have decided to buy a car.
Good God, what happened to their principles?
This accident of Becca's has really shaken them. Becca wants us to help them.
You must be joking. You mean to tell me that wretched Gavin earning a professor's salary and...
And keeping a wife and three children.
Well, whose fault is that?
I think we're pretty beastly to our daughter.
She brings out the beast in me.
Yes, well, poor child. She brings it out in me as well, which is why I think we should be extra nice to her. Anyway, if we can part her from that damn motorbike for good and all by lending her a couple of thousand, then I think we should.
Annabelle, you don't seem able to grasp the fact that we... What are you looking like that for? What's the matter?
I want to tell you something about Beatty.
Oh, Lord. I've forgotten about her.
Oh, don't. I was in her flat this afternoon.
What the hell for?
I said I'd get some bits and pieces for her. Nighties, toothbrush, that sort of thing. So when I flounced out of the shop, I thought I might as well do it then.
Go on.
I'm a bit ashamed of this. I had a look at what was lying on her desk.
Oh, yes.
Geoffrey, she'd been counting her money.
Ah, little piles of copper.
Far from it. I mean her bank statement and her list of investments.
£50 in national savings.
£3,000 in her current account, £14,000 on deposit, more than $750,000 in securities.
What?
And that's before you count her flat, which adds another $100,000.
Are you quite certain?
Absolutely.
Annaby, are you her heir?
I believe so. I was thinking it does put a slightly different complexion on having her to stay. Don't you agree?
It does. Anna, why didn't you say earlier?
I'm not quite sure. I wonder if I should have said it all.
Kitty, have you had enough?
What?
Enough. Have you had enough? Shall I take your plate away?
Oh, haven't I finished? No, I have.
Oh, Lord.
BT, you haven't quite got that bit of pastry on your... too late.
Where's the damn thing gone?
Never mind. Here, I'll mop it up.
I must say, the service at this place is absolutely wonderful.
Yes, isn't it? 5-star.
I do just hope it's not too pricey.
By no means. Rather the reverse.
Though if it is, I do think I ought to make some sort of contribution.
Beatty, dear, you are making some sort of contribution. Don't you remember?
Am I?
Yes. You let us have a weekly check.
In fact...
Just leave this to me. In fact, Beatty, it's time you let us have another.
Is it? It's the first I've heard of it.
No, it's not. You've done it for the last 2 months. Now, I've put your checkbook here, and if you wouldn't mind just signing before you go and have your rest. Here we are.
Well, if you insist... hold on a tick. This check isn't made out.
No, darling, because we haven't done the calculation yet.
Oh, you mean they haven't rendered their account?
If you like.
Very well, then. Just so long as it isn't for more than 12 guineas. I consider that quite enough for this sort of place, excellent though it is.
Don't worry.
Here's the pen.
Thank you, young man. No. On second thought, I really would prefer to sleep on it. Let's talk about it again in the morning.
God.
Okay, Beatty, just as you like.
In fact, I've been thinking. Perhaps I ought to bring the whole arrangement up with Corvo to see what he advises.
If you want to. Who is Corvo, anyway?
My solicitor. Corvo of Gray's Inn. A dear man. A man of probity.
Right. Well, well, talk about that one in the morning as well. Just at this precise minute, it's time you had a lie down.
Not yet. First, I need to open my bowels.
Okay. Give me an arm.
I can manage, thank you. Whoops, a daisy.
Steady.
Oh, here, grab hold of me.
Damnation. What am I doing, swaying like a drunken Irishman? Have I been drinking?
No.
Pity. It's the one shortcoming in this place. Not enough alcohol.
I'm sure we'd be glad to remedy it, given the wherewithal.
Splendid. Do that thing. Who is that individual? Is he the janitor?
No, Beatty, that's Geoffrey. I married to him, remember?
Are you? Good Lord. Shouldn't he be out at work?
He should be, but he isn't.
You mean he's shirking? I shall have a word with him.
Oh, don't do that. He's looking for a job. All right. Can you manage now?
Oh, thank you. Dear God.
Well, they said she'd come out of it.
She does come out of it.
Right. And pops back in again. Anna, I'll tell you one thing. I can't keep this up.
You can't? What about me? Anyway, it's beginning to look as if you haven't much alternative.
Okay, but I'll tell you what I can't keep up at all. This everlasting set to partners with a check.
Then just stay out of it. I always get it off her in the end.
So far, but knowing BT, it's only a matter of time before she jacks up on us and we'll be keeping her completely on what our progeny and their motor vehicles have left of my redundancy.
She won't jack up. And besides...
What?
Well, in the meantime, she happens to be keeping us.
Come off it. On £100 a week...
200.
200?
And 50. Plus expenses.
What?
Mrs. Penny for the cleaning. That sort of thing.
When did that happen?
I've been doing a little research.
Research?
I ran round one or two places. Homes. Good ones. Checking out the competition.
And?
The going rate in these parts is pushing 300. I filled in the last 2 checks accordingly.
Truth. Why didn't you tell me?
I reckon that if we talked about it at all, we might well talk each other out of it.
Darling. Honestly, I can't help feeling...
See what I mean? Look, we're earning it every penny and a good deal more, and it's peanuts to her.
She won't think so.
She'll never know, unless she comes into possession of her faculties.
Which she may do... Then what?
Then we put it to her straight. We've got nothing to be ashamed of.
No. No. Well, I suppose that's reasonable. Annabel, what if she doesn't come into possession of her faculties? Do we just go on like this?
Don't know. Let's cross that when we come to it.
Well, maybe we have come to it. What I'm thinking is, there must be some way of running people's affairs for them. You know, so that it's official. None of this bloody check palaver.
Look, don't go on about that, please. I said I'm managing. Anyway, these things are often better left informal.
No, I'm not going on. I'm absolutely open-mouthed with admiration. All I'm saying is, it might just be a good idea to go and see this Corvo individual. Particularly as she seems to trust him.
Let's keep that in reserve, shall we?
Nurse? Nurse?
Hello. Coming, dear.
Oh, dear. I feel my aim is not too good today.
Don't move. I'll get some water.
Before you vanish, I've been thinking about checks. You know, I really do consider that these people ought to render me a weekly itemized account.
Let's just get you cleaned up first, shall we?
Did I hear that aright? Itemized account.
You did. Perhaps we'd better have a word with Corvo after all.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. I had no idea that Mrs. Hunter was so poorly. I am sorry. And let me say straight off, Mrs. Campion, I'm sure there is an answer to your difficulty. But first, I have to put to you a question. Now, would you say that Mrs. Hunter has become or is becoming incapable of understanding what she is doing?
Good Lord. She's absolutely off her trolley.
Wait a minute. Does it make a difference, Mr. Corville?
Oh, indeed it does. You see, in such a case as this, the needs of the situation are often best met by what is known as an enduring power of attorney, given to some trustworthy individual, normally a relative, to enable him or, as it might be her, to run the donor's affairs on his or her behalf. Now, I have a copy of the form here. Yes. Now, under the regulations relating to such powers... So, that, in a nutshell, rather a capacious nutshell, I'm afraid, is the position as I see it.
What you seem to be saying, Mr. Corvill, is that I, that's to say an attorney, can do pretty much what he likes with Mrs. with a donor's property.
I mean, it says so on the form. In so many words.
That is true, provided that the donor places no restrictions. However, if the donor is already or should become mentally incapable, then the attorney is required to register the power of attorney with the Court of Protection. And that, as I have said, can lead to complications, especially if there are relatives. But then I think we're agreed Mrs. Hunter hasn't any.
Apart from me.
Quite.
Unless you count our children.
Oh, surely not.
What age are they?
29 and 27.
Well, strictly speaking, I suppose their consent might be required. I'd have to look into it. Oh, not that I imagine they would raise objections, would they?
Well...
I'm absolutely sure they wouldn't.
Then there isn't any worry. So, let me come back to my original question. Would you say that Mrs. Hunter is or is becoming mentally incapable?
Well, no. No. I really don't think one could possibly say that.
Right. Although, from what your husband said, I rather got the impression...
Well, no, that was just a matter of speaking. I mean, we've always said of her, she's round the bend. It's a family joke.
Oh, well, just so long as we can be quite certain. Yes, look, now, I'll tell you what I suggest. I take it there's no question of Mrs. Hunter coming to these offices.
Oh, no. No, she's on sticks. Very tottering.
Right, then why don't I come out to you? I can bring the papers, satisfy myself she knows exactly what she's doing, and we can all sign on the spot. How's that?
Well, that would be marvellous, Mr. Corville. Except...
I can see you're not entirely happy.
Look, this is really a bit difficult. You see, the fact is that, although Mrs. Hunter knows perfectly well what she's doing, she's often... How shall I put it? Well, bloody-minded. And the danger is that if you came to us and she was having one of her days, she'd probably refuse to sign or even listen.
So, what would you suggest?
Well, some days, and they're pretty unpredictable. She's just like her old self. So what I wondered was, when we next have one of those, could I telephone you?
Oh, by all means, Mrs. Campion. And I would do my utmost to make myself available.
That had its sticky moment.
Are you surprised? Absolutely off her trolley. Honestly.
Well, he did ask.
Never tell a lawyer anything until you've found out why he wants to know.
Sorry. But I think you talked him round, don't you?
Perhaps. Not that it helps much if Peter continues to give a perfect imitation of a lunatic. We've just got to pray for a good day and hope Corvo can make it.
Maybe we should settle for this quarter protection business after all.
Only as a last resort. And never if it means involving Alexander and Rebecca.
Oh, come on.
Think about it. First, we've got to track down Alexander, which could take years. And Rebecca is bound to have some moral or environmental objection. If we're going to do this, we do it without strings and complications.
We could, of course, just put her in a home and have done.
We'd still have to have a power of attorney. Anyway, she wouldn't go into a home. And if she did, she'd loathe it and we'd never hear the end. No, I've thought it out. We keep Beatty for however long she's got, and she keeps us in return. Unless a miracle should happen and you get a job in the meantime. And if the ethics worry you, look upon it as a loan against my stunning expectations.
Right.
Oh, Lord, we'd better rush. I swore to Mrs. Penny we'd be home by 4. It's 3:30 already.
Of course. You know what will have happened.
What?
Eddie will have chosen this afternoon to pay a visit.
Oh, my dear. I'd pay good money to see that. Whatever will they find to say to one another? Eddie and beyond.
I agree with you absolutely. Rembrandt is superb. The master.
And Jan van Eyck.
My word, yes. Have you seen the great collections in the Netherlands?
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
Then you should do before you decay. What did you say your name was?
Eddie.
Eddie? That's not much of a name. Makes you sound like a whirlpool.
It's Edward, actually. I prefer Edward.
So do I. I shall call you Edward. Edward what?
Edward Campion.
Is that so? You related to my niece?
I'm Geoffrey's brother.
Are you? Did I know he had a brother?
There's a fellow in the hospital calls me Weed.
Nobody could call you a weed. Not if he had eyes in his head. Why does he do that?
Isn't Campion a sort of weed?
Nonsense. It's an exquisite wild flower. Not that that's entirely fitting either. But it's a great deal better than weed. But tell me, Edward, what are you doing in this house?
It's my home.
Your home? I've never seen you here.
Oh, yes, you have. In 1979, July the 7th.
I meant recently.
Oh, no, not recently.
Why not, if it's your home?
Because I live in hospital.
In hospital? Did I know that?
You may have done.
Anyway, I know it now. And if you live in hospital, then that's your home, not this.
No, this is my home.
Then why don't you live in it? You should do.
Oh. Do you think so?
Absolutely. Put it to that niece of mine. Insist.
I could suggest it to Geoffrey.
Oh, it's no good suggesting anything to him. She has all the muscle. I shall say something.
The thing is, I haven't been too well.
Really? You look extremely fit to me. How long have you been in hospital?
28 years.
4 weeks?
No, 28 years.
You're having me on.
People don't stay in hospital 28 years.
I do.
What's the matter with you?
I've never been able to use my brains properly. I'm no fool, mind. Would you say I was a fool?
Certainly, if you let them make you stay in hospital as long as that.
I should like to have married and had children. Two girls and a boy. I should have taken them to art galleries and made them sit for their portraits. Do you happen to know if Rubens had a beard?
I've no idea. Who's there?
It's me, Mrs. Hunt, and Mrs. Penny. I was wondering if you'd like a cup of tea.
I should like a pot of tea, certainly.
What about you, Eddie?
Yes, please, Mrs. Penny.
There's a nice fruit cake, if you'd like it.
Oh, yes, please.
Right you are, then. Back in a jiffy.
Oh, by the way, Mrs. Penny, we're both agreed, this gentleman and I. He's Edward from now on. Do you think you can remember?
Well, I'll try.
Oh, there's another thing. We have some cups and saucers, if you please. None of your mugs. Cups and saucers, in honour of Edward.
I wouldn't say no if people were to call me Mr. Edward.
One thing at a time. Now then, what were we talking about? Rubens, was it?
I can't quite remember.
Is anything the matter?
No. No, I thought I heard the front door.
Hello, Beatty. Hello, Eddie.
Anna B. We've been having such a lovely chat, dear Edward and I. Sit down. We'll tell you all about it.
Mr. Corvo? It's Mrs. Campion. Look, a rather extraordinary thing has happened. We've just got home and found Mrs. Hunter. Well, I was going to say her old self, but it's better than that. Anyway, what I wondered was... You mean on your way to work? Oh, Mr. Corvo, that would be terrific.
Ew, that is the most repellent medicine.
Sorry. Becca recommends it. Says it's good for broken bones.
Oh, yes, Rebecca. A sad child.
Rather dreary, actually.
And Alexander. He's not sad. I like him.
Everyone likes Alexander. That's his trouble. And anyway, you haven't seen him for 10 years. Is there anything else you want?
Not that I can think of.
Will you sleep now?
Oh, yes.
You're probably tired from all that chat with Eddie. Sorry. Edward.
Oh, that didn't tire me in the least. I enjoyed my conversation with him. His knowledge of great paintings is astonishing.
Remarkable. As long as all you ask for is a catalogue.
Does he not paint himself?
He used to. I believe he was rather good.
Do you know? He told me that he's living in a hospital. 28 years, he said.
That's right. He can't manage his life.
Poor boy. Couldn't you manage it for him?
We do, up to a point. We keep an eye on him.
I mean, provide him with a home.
No way. Unless we want to join him in the bin. Perhaps he never mentioned beards.
Beards? Yes, in fact, he did. Quite often now, I come to think about it. It struck me as a fairly harmless eccentricity.
It's not. It's lethal, I promise you. Besides, he's got no money. And nor have we.
You? But Geoffrey's in a good job.
He was. He's been made redundant.
Should I have known that?
We did tell you. You've been forgetting things.
Good God. Where have I been?
That's a very good question. But wherever it was, you seem to have come back.
Do I? Somebody's come back, but I'm not absolutely sure it's me. I feel so appallingly good-natured. Oh, well. Listen, you are managing, aren't you? Money-wise, I mean, with me.
Yes, you're contributing. And anyway, that's what Mr. Corvo is going to talk to you about tomorrow.
Ah, yes, dear Corvo, what a thrill. Anyway, my dear, you mustn't go short. You've been so good to me. Don't go short, will you?
No, B.T.
I'm not quite as poverty-stricken as I make out, you know.
Yes, I do know, as it happens. Good night, Aunt. Sleep well.
Good night, Anna B. I think I must be going gaga. How does she know I'm not a pauper? She's been prying. But I can't even get excited about that. Oh, well.
Well, Mr. Corvo, How did it go?
Quite splendidly. I put the situation to her, and she saw the logic of it instantly.
You mean...
Oh, yes, yes. She signed without restrictions. I raised the matter naturally, but she wouldn't hear of it.
She said that?
Absolutely. I must say she's in amazingly good form. Remembered me at once. Couldn't have been nicer. And obviously I'm delighted because, of course, my mind is now completely set at rest.
I'm sure you have to watch your client's relatives like a hawk, Mr. Corbin.
Oh, true, Mrs. Campion, very true. Present company accepted, of course. may I ask if you would be kind enough to sign? Just here.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And I shall witness it. There we are. Now, I'll let you have a number of certified true copies in the next few days. You'll need them to enable you to deal with your aunt's bank, her stockbroker, that sort of thing.
Excellent. Oh, Mr. Corville, just one question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is an attorney's business, but I feel I ought to ask.
Mm.
Has Mrs. Hunter made a proper will?
Indeed she has. In fact, I took the precaution of glancing at it yesterday.
She hasn't done anything crazy, has she?
Far from it, Mr. Campion. Though I don't think I would be straying too far outside the bounds of professional discretion if I were to inform her attorney that, from the point of view of a certain niece, Mrs. Hunter's dispositions are about as proper as it is possible for them to be.
Ah. Of course, she did once tell me that. But at the time...
Oh, quite so. Oh, now, that reminds me. From time to time, I've suggested to her that she should do something to mitigate the depredations of the Inland Revenue on her estate.
Is that a problem?
Quite a big one, I'm afraid. Well, let me explain.
It was from about this time, I reckon, that the canker on the rose of virtue, till then not much more than a blemish, took on quite suddenly the aspect of a full-blown corruption. Anna, don't you agree?
I wonder. I'm inclined to date it from the day that I was born.
You may have a point. Corvo gave his explanation.
Provided Beatty lived for 7 years...
Perish the thought, but still.
She could give us...
We could give us, absolutely tax-free, any sum we chose. Potentially exempt transfer is the official term. PET for short.
Isn't that sweet? Short of 7 years, the tax man would begin to swing his axe, and if she died in less than 4, a mere 3,000 would escape.
We silently resolved to take good care of her.
We heard the amiable lawyer out, plied him with more coffee, showed him to the door.
And please do ring if you encounter any problems.
My God, can you believe it?
Only just.
Hey, what about a double whiskey for 11, sis?
Great idea.
No.
Oh, no.
I say no. The service in this place is absolutely unendurable.
It was, as the great Duke so economically put it, a damn close-run thing.
Corvo scarcely through the gate, and the aunt returned to lunacy upstairs.
Life fairly rapidly went back to normal.
Who is that specimen? Is he the plumber?
No, Beatty. That's Geoffrey. He's trying to unblock the sink.
Then he is the plumber.
I do remember that we soon began to talk of finding her a home.
But hesitated, since to do so might have meant admitting, in some official manner, that she'd gone completely round the twist.
And what then?
We couldn't quite remember everything that Corvo had told us.
Registration with the court of something or another.
And thought it wiser not to take the risk of finding out.
And all the more so in the aftermath of phone calls from our children.
Becca, darling, for goodness sake, calm down. Calm down. I can't understand a word you're saying. What's so awful? What has Gavin done?
Left her with any luck.
Left you? Oh, my dear. Of course we're not delighted.
I am.
No, he's not. He's looking rather glum. Darling, you know, these things do blow over. Do I gather there's another woman?
Needless to say, there was. The reptilian Gavin had ejected my daughter, for which any normal man might be forgiven, in favour of one of his students.
The poor child found herself quite suddenly with nowhere to live, no one to pay for her, and no money to pay for herself.
Not long after this, Annabel, in the exercise of her enduring power of attorney, wrote a quite impressive-looking cheque. Pay Rebecca Campion.
and popped it in the post.
After all, I know her great aunt would have wanted to support her. A sad child, as she put it.
And then, in recognition of Beatty's touching concern that she should not go short, Anna wrote another. To herself.
More impressive still.
And slipped it into our account.
Beatty's credit balance took it on the chin. But we spoke of phone calls plural, didn't we? Here comes the next.
Hello. Alexander.
Alex. Oh, how lovely.
Where are you? Oh, I'm surprised you haven't moved on. He's still in Sydney.
Any chance that I could speak to him?
No chance at all, as it turned out. Alexander stated his business with his usual brevity, gave us an address to write to, and rang off. The burden of his message was this. Having been offered an attractive job in Sydney, he'd broken his contract with the high-powered filmmaker only to find the job did not materialise. He was penniless in a strange land.
Not long after this, in my role as attorney, I arranged with Beatty's bank to cable a sum for the credit of Mr. Alexander Campion.
A course of action you will not deny, which could undoubtedly be said to represent a loving aunt's intentions toward her great-nephew.
Even one she hadn't seen for 10 years. Not long after this again, it dawned on us with Caribbean splendour that maybe we could think of Martinique.
We thought.
The thought was father to the deed. The golden aunt paid up and for 3 weeks was entrusted to the care of Mrs. Penny, who came in to live, assisted by a night nurse from an agency.
We plunged into a sybaritic world and relegated everything to do with Beatty to some remote and firmly locked compartment of the memory.
It somehow never quite came home to us.
Until it was too late.
That Beatty's life would carry on without us, though in what manner we can only guess.
Mrs. Hunter!
What?
You've got a visitor.
Thank you. I don't want a visitor.
I think you might want this one. It's Eddie. Edward.
Edward?
Mr. Campion's brother. Don't you remember?
No.
Oh, you and him had a lovely long chat about painters and that.
Painters? Edward? Oh, you mean Mr. Edward. Why didn't you say so? Show him in immediately.
Okay, Eddie. Mr. Edward. In you go.
Thanks, Mrs. Penny. Hello, Beatty.
Edward, how good to see you.
That fellow Trevor Short called me a twit, so I got a bit fed up.
My dear, it can't be worse than this place. It simply goes from bad to worse, what with matron gallivanting off on holiday. I tell you, the staff do just as they please.
Oh, I see. Mrs. Penny says that Annabelle and Geoffrey are in Martinique.
Is that so? Well, wherever they are, they never come near me. Do you know I haven't seen hide nor hair of them since I got here? Hang on a mo. How come someone has to tell you where they are?
I didn't know.
You mean to say they left the house and never said a word?
Not to me.
Why not?
I was in the hospital.
What the devil for?
That's where I live.
Oh, no, you don't. You live with that niece of mine. That's your home, you told me.
This is my home. But I don't live in it.
You must be crazy. This can't be your home, a nursing home. You live with Annabelle.
Yes. No.
Well, that's too bad. I must say I spoke to her about it. I obtained her solemn undertaking. Didn't I?
Do you think Leonardo da Vinci had a beard?
He may well have done. Now then, she had some objection about beard. What was it? Anyway, I overcame it. I obtained her solemn undertaking. This won't do at all. No wonder her children can't abide her. Nurse! Nurse!
Quite a lot of people did have beards in Leonardo's day.
A great majority, you can bet on it. Nurse!
All right, Mrs. Hunter, all right. Keep your hair on. I'm being as quick as I can.
Quick! You look more dead than quick to me. Fetch me a solicitor.
Solicitor? Do you mean the gentleman who came, Mr. Corvo, was it?
Corvo. No, not him. Huh? I suspect him of conniving. Oh, yes, with that niece of mine. He had me sign a document and wore a very strange expression while he did so.
No, no. Find a local man.
Don't you think it ought to wait till Mrs. Campion gets back?
Nurse, are you here to help or to frustrate me?
I always do my best to help you, Mrs. Hunter. You know that.
Then find me a solicitor.
Hello? Anybody home?
Answer came there none. Mrs. Penny? Peachy? The wanderers are returned.
Hang on, there's a note. From Mrs. P. Dear Mrs. Campion, Mrs. Hunter has been taken very poorly. The doctor says it's a stroke. A bad one. He says, the ambulance came and I've gone with her to the hospital. Back as soon as I can. Sorry for the bad news to greet you. Well, that's that.
And now, we also go to receive the kingdom prepared for us.
If not quite the one just mentioned in the Book of Common Prayer. Hello, Mr. Corville. How kind of you to come.
Ah, well, I always like to see my old clients on their way.
But you don't often make up 25% of the mourners, I dare say.
No, not often, Mr. Campion, but 10% is not uncommon. When people get to Mrs. Hunter's age, they've mostly buried their contemporaries.
Would you like to come back for a cup of tea?
Oh, that's extremely kind of you. Yes, in fact, there are some points we might usefully discuss.
Mrs. Penny, that's very kind of you, Mrs. Campion, but I've got to get back and give Fred his tea. Well, never mind. We'll see you in the morning. Thanks a lot for coming. I nearly forgot. There's this letter I'm supposed to give you. Letter? They said I was to give this to the next of kin immediately after the funeral. Who said? Well, she did, Mrs. Hunter. Her and the solicitor. You mean Mr. Corville? No, she wouldn't have him. No, Mr. Trevetherick, I think he said his name was. Oh, but I did the right thing. I don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
Spell it out again, Mr. Corbo, will you?
I'm afraid it's all quite clear, Mr. Campion. After a single specific legacy of £20,000 to Mrs. Penny, whom she describes as her faithful nurse...
This can't have been her doing, could it?
After that, your children, Alexander and Rebecca, have been left one quarter each of the estate.
Incredible.
The balance, Mrs. Campion, comes to you absolutely. Provided...
Oh, my God.
You give your brother-in-law, Edward Campion, a home in your own house and as a member of your family for the rest of his life, not entrusting his care to any third party as long as he remains sound of body, and devoting not less than one-third of the income annually to his benefit.
And if I don't?
It all goes to the Tate Gallery.
By heavens, we'll contest this. She was out of her mind.
Oh, but Mr. Campion... I have your joint assurances, not to mention the evidence of my own eyes, that she was not.
More toast, Eddie?
No, thanks. I will.
You're eating too much.
Classic response to stress.
Hey, Eddie, where do you think you're going?
I was just going to get one of my books and show you something.
Not before you've helped clear and wash up.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Annabelle.
Try putting those on the draining board.
Right you are, Annabelle. The draining board, Eddie, that's the cooker. Oh, yes, of course. Stupid of me. Every bloody morning.
Did you ever look into the day centre?
Yes, it's closing down.
Typical.
Anyway... might have counted as entrusting his care to a third party.
We can't possibly leave him on his own all day.
Maybe we could find one job and share it.
Maybe. God, it's not even as if we need the money.
Oh, blast. Sorry, Annabelle. It's clumsy of me. That's okay. Annabelle? I said I'm sorry. It's clumsy of me.
Yes, I heard you, Eddie. Just pick up the pieces and put them in the bin.
I'm a butterfingers, I'm afraid. Hey, Eddie, hang on. You haven't...
Leave him. It's no use.
You're right. Anything in the post?
Good Lord, a card from Alexander.
Not from Sydney, I imagine.
Egypt. Thought I'd take a trip up the Nile on the proceeds of your fat check and in anticipation of old Beatty's loot. En route for California, address in L.A. follows. Love, view of Abu Simbel.
Delightful. Not a word I note about his car and the insurance.
There's a card from Rebecca, too.
Both offspring by one post. What's the matter with them?
Dear Mum and Dad, just to tell you what with a nice check you sent me, plus what's coming from Aunt B, I've decided to say to hell with it and take a world trip.
What I don't understand is, how did any of this happen?
Don't go over that again, please. Beat is dead. Mrs. Penny swears she simply did as she was told. Eddie can't account for anything. Besides, we know quite well enough, if you ask me.
What do we know?
I put it down to retribution.
Yes. Maybe we should just have let the money go to the Tate. Maybe we could still do that. Put Eddie back in hospital.
We might not get him in. And think of that. Eddie and no money at all.
How about the one-way trip to Beachy Head?
What do you think?
No.
Hello, Eddie.
Oh, Annabelle, this is the thing I wanted to show you. Have you seen this one? It's by Roger van der Weyden. It's a last judgment from a place called Bone. It's very fine, don't you think?
Yes, Eddie, very fine.
I think it's very fine indeed. One of my favourites. Look at the angel holding the scales and the man and woman on it.
I know exactly how they feel.
I say, Annabelle, Geoffrey, do you happen to know if Roger van der Weyden had a beard?
In Power of Attorney by David Wade, Geraldine McEwen played Annabelle, Geoffrey Palmer, Geoffrey, Joan Matheson, Beatty, David King, Eddie, Catherine Parr, Mrs. Penny, John Moffat, Mr. Corvo, Jane Whittenshaw, Rita, and James Green, Bulstrode. The play was directed by Glyn Dearman.